Luke chapter 2 tells us the story of the birth of Jesus. And what's amazing about the story is, despite all this amazing singing, you guys are fantastic, by the way. Well done. Thank you so much. Despite all this amazing singing, and contrary to popular belief, there was no singing on the night that Jesus was born. The angels didn't sing at all. They spoke. Listen to what Scripture says in Luke chapter 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is a Messiah, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace amongst those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. No singing that night. No music in heaven, no trumpets, no first Noels, no while shepherds wash their socks by night. None of that happened that night. I wonder what it feels like not to be able to sing. Today in Australia on Bondi Beach, between the beach and the park, 12 people were killed simply because they were Jewish, as they were awaiting tonight, or what would now be in the morning there, they were about to light the first candle of Hanukkah. And terrorists shot them, 12 killed and 29 fighting for their lives in hospital. And all around the world tonight, there are people who can't sing, are afraid to sing, or have lost the ability to sing. Some might even be here. Your heart riven with grief and sorrow and pain and loss and disappointment. And the song leaves. I wonder, have you ever been there? Not only not to know how to sing, but not to want to sing again. The people of Israel were once in that situation. After hundreds of years in exile, one of their poets and songwriters and minstrels wrote these words, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, and there we hung our harps or our lyres upon the trees." It strikes me that one of the saddest things that a human being can ever face is to lose the desire or the ability to sing. Grief can do that to you. Shame can do that to you. Heartbreak and sorrow and loss and loneliness and isolation and fear can all take away your desire to sing. But although nobody sang on that night when Jesus was born, the world was changed because light had dawned in darkness, and the angels announced to the shepherds, "Behold, to this day is born for you in the city of David a Messiah, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And I wonder what they thought would come next. You will find him enrobed in silk and ermine, sitting in a manger or a crib made of silver. and the finest ebony and oak draped in special garments, wrapped around by servants and guards and attendees. The room filled with music and laughter and dancing. Maybe that's what they thought. You'll find him surrounded by guards, held so that no one can get near him because this is the savior of the world. Maybe that's what they thought. And instead they hear, and you will find him lying in a manger amongst the dirt and the filth of the animals. You will find the savior of the world. And then the scene changes as the angels announce glory to God in the highest and peace amongst all whom he favors. There may not have been a song that night, but I tell you, a melody was begun that cannot ever be silenced. A tune of hope that has crossed generations and spanned continents has changed billions of people. The greatest and strongest and most beautiful and powerful and life-giving story and message and truth that the world has ever known or will ever know began in public that night, not with a trumpet, not with a choir, not with angels riving the sky and singing, but with the cry of a baby that pierced the Bethlehem air. A cry of hope. The weary world was waiting. And as that star shone above that cave, it wasn't a stable, it was a cave. And that child cried, the world was changed. And if I were able to know each of your stories personally, I could draw a direct line from that cave, if you are a follower of Jesus, to your life. And just as nobody could quiet that screaming baby, so no one can quiet the scream of hope in our hearts. Circumstances cannot quiet it. Heartbreak will not silence it forever. The cry of hope echoes from family to family, from life to life, from heart to heart, from situation to situation. It echoed from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. It echoed from Jerusalem to Nazareth. It echoed from Nazareth to Galilee. It echoed from Galilee to Rome. It echoed from Rome to Constantinople. It echoed from Constantinople to Nicaea. It echoed from Nicaea to the rest of Europe. It echoed into Paris and into Madrid and into London. It echoed into Accra. It has echoed into Ghana. It has echoed into Ethiopia. It has echoed into South America. Across every continent of the world, this cry of hope has echoed, and it continues to echo, and it gets louder and louder and louder and louder and louder, and it will never be silenced. And if we listen carefully amongst the cacophony and the cries and the clamors of London or wherever you are joining us from tonight, you will hear that echo still. For it has echoed in my life. I lost the ability to sing. Through circumstances in my life, through challenges that I was facing, I thought I would never sing again. I thought that music and singing and worship and praise would never again cross my lips. And for months and months and months, I went through a season of deep and profound sadness and loneliness and sorrow and grief. But that song returned. Just like dawn comes round every day, that song returned. And that song is louder in my heart than it has ever been. Why? Because all those years ago, that child cried out, and hope was birthed. And tonight, amongst everything else that you may celebrate, here is my prayer for you, that if you have never sung of him, that you will sing of him tonight. If you have never allowed the melody of the miracle of the incarnation to touch your heart, that that melody will come and touch your heart tonight, online and here. That you will hear the good news, because I tell you, Christ's life may not have begun with a song, but his return will be accompanied by song after 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 song. And when he comes to reign, as you heard in the song that we've just sung, the world will be filled with a song. And the song will be sung by all those who know him. Salvation belongs to our God. Glory and honor and blessing and power be to him forever and ever and ever and ever. I am sorry if the music of your soul has been quietened by the disappointment of life. I'm sorry if the sorrow of daily living has strangled the tune in your heart. But I pray that tonight, by the power of the breath of God called the Holy Spirit, that Jesus will ignite in you a spark of faith. That he will come to you and he will show you that he is trustworthy and he is real and he is reliable. I am so grateful for the talent of the men and women that make up Kensington Temple, London City Church. I'm grateful for every note that you have sung. I am blessed to be part of a church that loves music and loves dancing and loves singing. I am thrilled and honored and moved by your voices. It is a great joy of my heart. I love hearing you sing and play. But I love even more the fact that every note that you sing on this stage is motivated by love for Christ. That you bring your remarkable gifts and talents, your ability and your heart to the stage, and you sing of the one who has come to live amongst us. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your ministry, for your dedication. Thank you for the commitment and the rehearsals and all the time that you've poured into tonight. Let's show them our appreciation. But tonight I invite you to sing with us as we move into the final part of our service, to let your voices rise, to get those feet unnailed from the floor and to move a little, to enjoy the music and the dancing and the celebration and the hope. You know, if I had my way, every light on this church would be lit over Christmas and it would not go out until the 6th of January. I would have parties every night. Don't tell anybody. I may even have a glass of Prosecco or champagne. In fact, it feels like we have been cooking for people every night for days and days and days. And we will continue to do so. I think we should light every light. I think we should dance as hard as we can. We should sing as loud as we can. We should celebrate as much as we can. We should open our homes and invite our friends in. And when they say, "Why are you so joyful?" we say back, "Because he has come. Because he was born, because he is here, because our lives have been transformed." And whoever you are tonight, wherever you are, whatever circumstances you are facing, may the joy of the Christmas message, may the power of the incarnation take a grip of your soul. May it lift your heart. May you be given tonight by God himself, the gift of faith. And if you close your eyes and tune your ears for a little while, maybe you will hear in this building angels from the realms of glory singing the song of celebration that Christ has come and everything is changed. Listen, darkness will not win. In this world, darkness will not win. No matter what happens, darkness does not win. I know the end of this story. I am confident of the end of this story. You thought I was talking to you. You're all right, Jordan. Here is the end of this story. Two words, very simple. God wins. God wins. And you might find it triumphalistic. I don't mean it triumphalistically, but I say to you with humility, but with confidence, I am on the winning side. Christ has come and everything is changed. And if you need that gift of faith, simply ask him for it tonight. Imagine James is one of my closest friends. He's here tonight. It's great to have him. Joshua is one of my godchildren. Imagine that the Christmas present that we've bought Joshua, that Lamborghini that we're going to give you. Only kidding, Josh. It's definitely not a Lamborghini, son. But imagine Debbie and I gave Joshua his Christmas present. And he said, thanks very much. How much do I owe you? What do you think we'd say back? Some of you say, tell him how much it is and get the money. No, we wouldn't do that. You don't give gifts to get money. You don't give somebody a gift and say, now pay me for it, do you? You give them a gift and they receive it and they say, thank you. Faith cannot be bought. Forgiveness cannot be earned. Hope cannot be purchased through your good deeds. There's nothing that you or I can do that can pay for what Christ has done for us. He offers us a gift. Our job is to receive it. In faith and with thankfulness in our hearts, wherever you are, and whatever you will be doing this Christmas season, have a wonderful Christmas. For the first time in 47 years, I will not be cooking on Christmas Day. I know, Sam, I started cooking Christmas dinner when I was 8 years old. And for the first time in 47 years, my wife, I will not be cooking for anyone on Christmas Day. Our children are, one of them is a pastor, they're all serving in churches, they're all volunteering and helping in their local churches. So none of them are coming to London. And we are so looking forward to Christmas lunch in Covent Garden. Debbie and I, I'm not telling you what restaurant we're going to because I don't want any of you to come. You go somewhere else. We're going to come to church. We're going to enjoy being with our family here in London. Then we're going to jump in an Uber and we're going to go and have a wonderful lunch together. We're going to wander around the lights. We're going to hold hands and we're going to remember the gift of God to us this Christmas. It'll be different, but it will be special. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, may you know the deep and the profound and the personal joy of the Christ child this year. Don't let sorrow win. Don't let heartbreak win. Don't let fear win. Don't let isolation win. Don't let shame win. Let the light and the life and the love and the hope of Jesus rest on you. I wonder what Joseph felt that night when he held that little baby for the first time. There's a wonderful poem by a man called Ron Klug. Terrible name, but great poem. Called Joseph's Lullaby. And it imagines Joseph, the father or stepfather of Jesus, walking out into the Bethlehem air holding his son. And he looks at him and he says, sleep, little one, sleep. How can I bring you up? He says, how can I teach you anything, you who flung the stars into space? And then he says to this little baby, when we get back home, I'm going to make you a bed fit for a king. I'm going to teach you how to use the saw and the hammer. Your life will be built around wood and nails. You will have sawdust in your hair. You will smell the wood on your hands and on your feet. But for now, sleep, little one.